Welcome back, everyone, to Into the Pines Between Two Skis podcast. With you, as always, is the Austin Rose.
What's going on?
And I am Trent Walker, and we are super excited for the 2023-2024 season. We're going to kick it off by really talking about what companies are doing to make our experience on the mountain better. We want to talk about what we can do to make sure we're in the right equipment and how we can grow in our abilities so that we can enjoy the mountain more.
Agreed. I think this year, Trent and I are going to set our goals, our personal ski goals, and dedicate our podcast to really having fun on the mountain. You know, last year was a great experience for our first podcast, you know, first time getting out there and getting info out to you people. And the feedback that we've gotten and that we've been researching is that we want to provide, you know, just a more fun experience with good, clean, easy to understand info so we can refine our details a little bit more and talk about, you know, the gear that you're going to be seeing in the stores and, you know, what you want to know about to get you stoked and having a good time. So we're really dedicating this year to enjoying the mountain versus just understanding the mountain like we had last year.
Right. And with that, I think that oftentimes we find ourselves like nitpicking these little things, and sometimes that stops us from really enjoying. Sometimes I'll be on the mountain and I'll be riding my Devastators there 108, and I'm like, oh man, there's so much snow, like I should have brought my 120s up.
Right.
Instead of just being like, there's so much snow, like let's go skiing, you know? Like,
yes.
Like so often we find ourselves nitpicking the littlest details in the ski world and equipment when really, like, that's fun and good, but it shouldn't be taking place of the fun and the experience and being out on the mountain.
Agreed. That's what I'm really excited for this year. It'll be fun to really this podcast as we are going to lean into what to expect with it and what to look forward to in 2024.
Yeah.
Right? With this new season coming up, it's going to be fun to see all the new released items, what others are thinking about it, and getting our own experiences on the equipment. You know, it's July right now in Utah.
Right.
So, it's July everywhere, but in Utah, it is really hot and there's no snow for skiing.
Yeah.
Right? So, excited to start this off right.
Yes. And companies have started announcing stuff. We're excited for it. We're excited for what's going to happen. And let's get into it.
Let's talk about it.
So we've done just, you know, some, we found some points that we wanted to talk about, but we didn't want to talk about it the way we normally do. Normally, we'd kind of create more of a script. This time, we wanted it to be a little more off the cuff, so that way you guys can really see our unfiltered, like, either opinions or excitement or things we think that are kind of funny or silly that the ski industry does, like rename something that doesn't need to be renamed,
yes.
Right? Like all sorts of stuff. So
these are fresh first takes.
Exactly.
Trent and I haven't talked about many of these, actually.
No.
So a lot of these are going to be our raw opinions, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, so let's dive in. Austin did some diving into the Armada, new Armada stuff. So
yes,
tell us what you got.
Yes, the first thing I want to talk about starting off the 2023-2024 ski season is really my stoke on Armada, right? Everyone knows I'm an Amherst Sports guy, right? And Amherst Sports, for those that aren't aware, is like the parent company for a lot of major ski brands. We're talking Salomon, Atomic, Armada, mm-hmm. Arc'teryx ski jackets, and just many more, right? So they really to have a big hold on the industry when it comes to producing new equipment. And that's why you see a lot of similarities between brands like Armada and Atomic and Salomon all having the same binding.
Yeah.
Right? Because they put them across the board. Right? Now, Armada is specific with their skis to be built by skiers for skiers. And this year, their designs is going to actually, I mean, it's going to be really cool. It's kind of flipping the script on some of the stuff their standard line that they put out, which is really the ARV series, which is what Armada is known for. And they did a redesign to that series this year. And I am so excited. to really test these out and talk a little bit more about them. You know, the ARV, from my experience, has been one of the best skis that I've ridden on downhill as a freestyle ski.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and one thing that's interesting about the redesign is, like, oftentimes when something like this happens, I like to look at it from the perspective of the company. Like, why redesign it, right? And if you're going to redesign it, why all of them at once? Unless it's going to be significant for the end user. So that's why you can hear Austin and I being really excited, because, like, these are big changes to a main core line of Armada. This isn't a small feat for the company to handle. Mm-hmm. And they did this so that the experience for the skier can be better.
Yes. You know? Yep. Exactly. So, starting off with the ARW series for Armada, the first thing that we noticed looking at their changes for 23-24 is going to be waist width of skis. So, right now, the changes are going to be within the 100 millimeter waist width. They're going to have a 94 millimeter waist width ARV and an 88 millimeter waist width. Right. Now, these are small changes from what they've done in the past. We're talking just millimeters and waist width. But if you're looking for, you know, a specific ski model you have in the past, it may be named slightly different this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The cool part is going to be hopping in and seeing how these skis and this waist width have changed. But they actually left the 106, which is one of their beloved ARV series, is going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That one has always been slightly different than the smaller waist widths that they've had. And it's proven to be an amazing ski. So they're going to keep that one the same while they're going to hop in and do some real big changes and experiments with these smaller ones.
Yeah.
Right. Starting with their edge design. Right. So this one's going to be called the wedge wall. Right. And talking about this for a beginner skier, you don't need to know too much about the wedge wall design, but I do want to just hit the major points on it, on how you can understand if somebody were to sell it to you or what you're buying and why it's cool. You know, it's mm-hmm. nice to know that, especially if you're an Armada fan. And with the wedge wall design, what Armada is doing this year is it really goes into the construction of the ski. And they're creating this, it's actually wedge called W3DGE is how they spell wedge. And it's a 3D design of the edge, where they're wedging the edge material, the metal itself, between the core of the ski, and getting it to align rather than just epoxy gluing like a 90 degree edge to it. They're actually going to wedge them in and give it a little bit more of an angle so it molds to be part of like the core of the ski.
So is it the sidewall they're wedging or the like metal edge that they're wedging?
So it's the sidewall that they're wedging. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Good point.
I was like, wait.
Yes.
But speak more to why that even matters.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because the sidewall of your ski is going to be giving you like the major support that you need while you're skiing, right? And especially if you look at someone who is a park rat or taking impacts on their skis, they will know that the sidewall is one of the most important parts of their ski that comes to taking impacts. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That sidewall is what we use when we go to make corners and turns that we're shifting our power from our legs and pushing into the ski. It's going to flex and it's going to control that digging in of the edge into those corners. Right. So having that more seamless design, I mean, in theory, should help increase control. It should help increase durability for taking impacts and keeping the ski as one functioning whole piece and not feeling like it might be like two separate pieces that are trying to work together in unison but are struggling or anything.
Yeah. And when Austin was, he gave me a little bit of an overview of this a couple weeks ago, but the first thing that came to mind was this is similar to Wonder Alpines. The way that they attach their sidewall to the core of the ski is more of a bonding process
mm-hmm.
than like this simple glue. So I think it's really interesting that they've come up with a way to make a more seamless, like you said, one unit.
Yeah,
one design. Unit design. Yeah, yep. Exactly. So I love that.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, it's going to be really awesome to see these out on the mountain. I mean, I have no doubt it's going to be amazing. Armada rarely puts something out that they don't have 100% commitment to, you know, in their line. So to see one of their main sellers get changed with this new design, if it goes well, I would expect to see this being influenced across the board.
Yeah.
This is really probably something that's just going to be like, let's start here. Mm-hmm. And then after 2 years, you're going to see this in every ski on their side. And maybe even other ski companies are going to start picking up something like this if it works well. Really, I think the biggest excitement is going to be edge control and the durability of the ski, right? To see how it takes impacts. I mean, a lot of skis in the past, when you take a major impact on a sidewall or you just clip a ski, like a branch from a tree with your ski, you can see major damages inflicted near that sidewall area. So really excited to see how that plays out this year.
Yeah. And one thing that we wanted to touch on with going over all this stuff is, you know, like it's really cool to read the pro guys and their commentary on all the new stuff that's coming out. But to speak exactly what Austin's talking about, right? Put these skis in the hands of the average Joes and let them hit a rock.
Yes.
I want to know what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, these pro skiers, they're not hitting rocks the same way that an average guy is hitting a rock, right. You know? So, like, 100%. They're like, oh, this is cool, but, like, I've never really noticed the durability factor because I'm not like accidentally hitting rocks all the time.
Right. I mean, that just brings up stories in my mind. I mean, like a few years ago, having, you know, a customer in my store bring in, I think it was a QST 92. Mm-hmm. And QST has had a great, you know, great history in their name for Salomon. And the 92 series was, you know, expected to perform really well. And one problem that they saw was really in that sidewall area where customers came in taking impacts that hit that 1.5 inch space from the sidewall to the core where it just wasn't bonded as well. And it caused a major crack. And I'm talking like 6 to 8 inches or more.
Like separating top sheet.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. And it wasn't even like a gash like you would if you hit a rock where it's just like a, like it takes like a gash out of the base. It actually bent the core of the ski. Mm-hmm. And it was due to part of the bonding process, whether they're using foam or straight wood or epoxy. And to see that, you know, is like a major issue that people want to know about. And that was something that Salomon took and was like, we need to fix that.
Yeah.
You know, like that is a problem. So to see, you know, to see this come out this year for Armada and see how it feeds with the average Joe skiers, with the people making mistakes because we're human.
Yeah.
Like that's what I want to see too. I love ski testers and I love to see what they do, but it is fun to see somebody take this and what's going to happen when you know, take a fall.
Right.
And you hit something and you accidentally hit hard pack and you just didn't know it was coming.
Right.
Right? So.
Well, it also makes me think of, there's a couple different skis that totally fit what we're talking about here. Like the K2 Mindbender, a couple of years ago, they had edge material. There was almost like two of them. They were stacked, remember?
Yeah, the laminate of the metal on the top of the ski, and it was delammed.
Yes. Yep. Like we would get demo skis coming back that would just look like they went through a wood chipper. You know? And then I also think of back in like 2018, 2017, the head core series, the top sheet, like any little ding would show, right?
Yes.
And so in our demo fleet, people are throwing them in and out of the gondola and they would come back and they looked like a kid just took a fork to them, you know,
right.
Like just thrashed.
Right.
And it's interesting to see how companies take this average information, you know, from people who maybe aren't treating their equipment the way a pro skier is treating them and then accommodating for that. I think that that evolution is underrated.
For sure. Agreed. And to, you know, to wrap up, I think that just is where we go to say with Armada, this is no easy task they have at hand on redoing a sidewall design. Mm-hmm. And not many have done such a big change. Like Trent said, the only one I can think of is Wonder Alpine on how they do their edge design and their sidewall, right? And there's been small changes, but to see a big change is really exciting.
Yeah.
So.
So we're stoked. Another one that we wanted to talk about would be the Line Sir Francis Bacon series.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about this when I had my demo day and we kind of broke it down. But one thing I wanted to really talk about was taking the bacon from the 2023-2024 season and comparing it to last year's, right? Mm-hmm. And then because the Sir Francis Bacon 115 is new, really comparing the old 108 to the new 108 and then the new 108 to the new 115 to right. give us as close of a reference as we're used to, right? So how it compares, the 2024 108 is pretty much just a little bit wider, and it is actually a little bit heavier, which, honestly, I love. I love when they add a little bit of weight to the ski. So that means what I'm saying is 2022-2023 bacon lighter than this year's bacon, which is interesting, right? But that's going to make it hold up a little bit better. It's still plenty surfy. And then what you have in comparison to the 108 to the 115 is literally just whip.
Yes.
That is it. Full stop. We're done, right? Like, mm-hmm. like if you could take a 108 and make it a little bit wider, but leave all the same materials, leave all the same like base material and construction type, like leave it all alone, just make it wider. You have the 115.
Right, right.
So really when you're looking at, sometimes when you look at these skis, like the Bent Chetler 110 to 120, you do have some materials changing, but the Sir Francis Bacon, you just don't.
Right.
Which is fine, right?
Yeah, and if I recall, the you know one of the changes they're doing this year is a small change in construction, which was actually giving it a little bit more tip and tail rocker and less camber, so a little yes. more or early rise on the tip and tail, which would generally give the ski more, even more of a surfy feel than it already has. So it's a very quick turning surf playful ski, which, you know, it can go both ways depending on what type of skiing you like. Now, for Line has always been a very freestyle-oriented ski company, right? They're generally not going for a hard carving ski unless you're riding the blade.
Yeah.
It's just different, right?
Yeah.
But the Sir Francis Bacon's one of their most popular skis. It'll be fun to get on that this year, especially in that 115.
Yeah.
I think if you hit a good powder day in a 115, like, it's going to be, I can only imagine, very similar probably to the 108, where you're like, not much different, but just a little more stoke on being on top of the snow.
Right.
Right.
Well, and one thing, as I'm thinking back about what I just said, I did say last year's 108 is not as wide as this year's 108. And you may be asking yourself, they're both a 108. What do you mean?
Yes.
I'm talking tip and tail is a little bit wider than the past rendition, right?
Creating slightly different dimensional feel.
Right. And another thing, one of the reasons they did that is they got rid of the convex tips and tails, right? And I'm sure there's going to be some...
And explain what that is, this convex tip and tail.
So it's like a spoon shape on the tail and the tip, and it's supposed to create more of like a surf feel, like you more surface area equals more surf, right?
Right. So kind of similar to how Atomic does, they call it the horizon tip. It's a little, that one's like a little straighter edge looking, but that idea of the spoon shape to let snow flow past the tip.
Exactly. Yep. And with that, that's why they made the tip and tail wider, because they got rid of that, because they just didn't see it adding as much benefit as it used to.
Right.
But the other thing, and this will be more for the shop guys, and if you're working on your stuff at home, it is so much easier to work on a ski that doesn't have a convex tip and tail.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, scraping those is a nightmare. You can't put them on a belt, right? Like, none of that. And now that's gone, it will be easier to maintain. And like, it's still going to offer plenty of float, right? Like, they accommodated by making it wider in the tip and tail. But that is something to keep in mind. So if you really loved that spoon shape, I'm sorry, it's gone forever. Maybe not forever, but it's gone for now.
Right.
So.
Yep. But yeah, like you said, I enjoy that. Nice to know. And as a, you know, if any of you are just trying to learn more about doing shop work on your own or taking better care of your skis, if you do have weird, by weird, I mean different from the standard of a dimensional ski design.
Yeah, maybe unique.
Yeah, right? Like an Atomic Bent Chetler, or, you know, it's the Sir Francis Bacon skis that have the spoon designs.
Or the heads. SmearTech ARBs, yeah. Right?
Right. Just knowing what you have there, it's nice to know that if you are taking those into a shop, on how to be a little more specific on how you want your tune, and just clarifying, hey, you know, this ski does have that weird tip on the front, or tail on the front, or tail on the back. Will you just make sure that as you're doing the base grind, not to use the standard pressure tester, do it by hand?
Yeah, will you make sure to give it a little more attention? Because there's times when I'm waxing my bent Chetlers that the Horizon Tech, I do have to pay more attention to them, or it will leave wax all over those spots.
Right.
And so knowing that is huge.
Yeah.
So
you don't need to piss off your ski tech by being, you know, totally overbearing to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is okay to ask them for that. A lot of base tune grinders are going to have a standard feed wheel that applies pressure down on the ski, and you can ask to not use the feed wheel. Just say, please do this by hand, not by the feed wheel. Right? If you trust them, at least, too. Yeah. Right? So
you might be like, hey, will you get your top guy to do it not with the feed wheel?
Yeah.
We get your manager to do it without the feed wheel.
Or just ask him questions about it. Yeah. Ask him about that shape on it and say, hey, I just want to make sure I don't take away the shape of the ski too much, because it is a little more unique.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that. All right. What's next?
Yeah. So we wanted to hit one more ski. As we're hopping in, and before we do, this wasn't really on our radar, but I do want to mention something really cool as we take a small diversion from skis. But I am really excited, Trent, because we're talking about Stoke for 23-24.
I love it.
And I am excited for the clothing.
Okay, I love that.
Right? And we don't talk a whole lot about ski jackets, ski pants, but they're always so fun. I mean, as a shop owner, they would constantly be flowing in and out of your store, and the new gear gets released early, right? It's not going to be the same release standards as skis and hard gear. Mm-hmm. Soft goods tend to come a little bit sooner, and they're just really fun.
Yeah.
So as we're going into August, like, start looking at some of these items. I mean, I'm stoked to see what Picture is putting out.
Oh, I love Picture. Know?
Picture Organic. And it's another point for me is what companies are starting to move towards recycled materials.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge issue in the industry that just we haven't done justice on and people haven't talked enough about, which is leaning into recycled material use and being more eco-friendly.
Yeah.
Right? And Picture Organic has always done a great job with their clothing that way. Something I'm really excited to see because, you know, that was their big push in the industry, was showing how they were eco-friendly. And now they kind of have that following that's going to be, how can we make this item even better? And just like start pushing things to how consumers want the jackets tailored.
Well, and one thing about jackets, back when we were working in a shop and they'd show up, there were some that wouldn't even, like, be on my radar, and they'd show up in the shop, and I'd be like, this looks so good. And then I'd put it on and be like, why doesn't every jacket have this pocket? Or why doesn't every jacket have, like, this feature? So sometimes, like, I can't recommend enough. Like, go try on jackets, you know?
Oh, a pass pocket is my favorite thing.
Oh, my gosh. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
I can never go back.
There's a little pocket to put your ski pass in.
Yeah.
On your hand, like on your forearm or whatever.
It's awesome.
Oh, so, amazing. Like,
go try jackets on. They all fit different. Some fit a little bit better for certain people, but even if you don't like love it, you might find a feature on a jacket and you're like, okay, I need this feature. Let's see what other options have this feature.
Right.
And it can help you narrow things down.
Yes. And sales are coming up now that we're moving into August. So start looking now for good deals, gear from last year, and compare them to the new items released. This is the perfect time to buy. So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I loved that. That was great. That was perfect.
So, one more ski we wanted to hop in and talk about. And, you know, the brand is going to be K2, and specifically their Mindbender series. We want to talk a little bit about the Mindbender C. That is their new design to what K2's already done with the Mindbenders. Really, we're hitting this pivotal point with an item. We all know, you know, through sales, you have a product lifetime, if you will, right? And if the ski does well in the industry, it tends to extend its product lifetime. They'll keep it for a bit. They'll make these small changes and try and extend how long we have this model available. And K2's starting to hit that point of, I think, what, 5 or 6 years now?
The Mindbender.
Mindbender's been out. Maybe slightly more. Yes, this ski is one that's been a crowd pleaser. People have loved the Mindbender. To see K2, you know, giving a little more towards a free ride ski that has a little bit more of like a medium to aggressive stiffness in some of their items, where they were using Tetanol, and now talking about the C series, where we start to get in a little more carbon and lighter weight materials. Yes.
And these skis, so I'm pretty sure it used to be the Mindbender 88. That was like the women's. Mm-hmm. And then they had the Mindbender 98, which was the men's, right?
So they had the 90C and then the 98 Tetanol.
Oh, yes. Yep. So this ski, the 96C and then the 96W, the only difference between them is the color. Okay?
Okay.
So they are offered, so the women's ski is red. And it's offered in the first three sizes, which they're escaping me right now. And then the 96C is considered the men's. And it's actually, its lowest size is the women's highest size.
Right.
Okay.
Which I love.
I love
you
that
too. I mean, I do wish that you could have a little more choice in color through different sizes. But so everyone knows, basically what they're saying there is the construction changes between the size is going to be very minimal.
Yeah.
Right? There's always a small difference just on how they compact a ski together. But really, you're talking same model. The women's and men's are going to be the exact same, just a different color for different sizes of the ski.
Right. So if you don't mind, if you would be on the men's smallest, that's the women's largest, right? And if you don't mind, like if you wanted the red one, then get the red one. It's going to be the same, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you're like a ripping gal and you want something a little taller, get the black one. Like, no one's going
to
care.
Don't be afraid to step up knowing that the construction hasn't changed pivot like a big major change between a women's and a men's classification.
Right.
Yeah, I put in air quotes, by the way. Yeah. You can't see that. But.
So then one thing, like this ski construction still has like, they're braided carbon fiber. So you're going to get similar performance that we're all used to, but it's really interesting how it's just the whole line flows better.
Right.
Women into the men's sizes and making it really more unisex, which I think is great.
Yes. And to talk about the 96C, which is their new introduction this year, it really is just going with, we had the 90C, which was hitting both markets, men, women, teen, tween, you know, full adult skis. But the 90C skied different from the rest of the Mindbenders because the 98, which was a Tetanol frame, the 108 they had?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Tetanol frame. I mean, they had several different changes they've had going with different waist widths. But those ones were a lot heavier, a lot more of a free ride ski that really wanted to dig into the snow during crud.
Yeah.
It wanted to plow through crud, and we love that. Mm-hmm. And the 90C was slightly different. I would sell this to tween kids all day long, you know, just because it was lighter in the tip with that carbon fiber stringer running through it. It actually isn't as stiff. The carbon, it does add a nice stiffness to it, but it had a great flex in the tip of the ski, which was differing from the metal that they used in their lines. It allowed the ski to turn a little bit easier for those that aren't putting as much weight and pressure into the ski, or maybe not skiing as aggressive.
Right.
So to have a ski that is going now at a 96, similar design, expect a similar performance from the 90, but just in a wider ski.
Yeah.
Right.
And one thing I loved about the old series that's going to translate into this series is this ski is perfect for the person who's 5 days a year, not super aggressive. Oh, they'll be able to walk away from this ski for months, come back and feel so good on it because it's just easy, approachable. I think it's underrated because oftentimes it gets overshadowed by these big Tetanol nine benders, right? When right. really this tea has an awesome place in the industry.
Yes, I love that you point that out. As a one ski quiver, take a look at the Mindbender 96C.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is going to be a really cool ski that's going to hit multiple areas on the mountain, like you just said, and perform really well, rather than feeling like you need to have this metal ski and then this one that's so extremely light. Like, try the ski out.
Yeah.
Get it on a demo day. Let's see how it performs. It's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Right. Awesome. Let's keep going here. We're going to start talking a little bit about boots.
Yes.
And we talked boots. At the beginning, we talked about things that we might find silly or funny. this is where we get into some of that. So Dalbello is retiring their Krypton and their Chakra series.
Aww.
And, which is sad. Krypton is like the sickest name ever, right? Yes. Like, why get rid of it? What are they replacing it with, Austin?
So this year they are replacing it with their new design called the Cabrio LV.
So what, for those who don't know, what is that? What does that mean?
So I've got a little bit of sarcasm. Now, I love Dalbello. Don't get me
They're
wrong.
They're great.
Dalbello has some of the best-selling ski boots on the market. It hits a great variety of feet. Where I love to laugh at this is really the name change.
Oh, my goodness.
the Cabrio. Cabrio is a design, I think, coined by Dalbello.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is talking about their three-piece boot design.
Right.
Right? So it's going to have a lower shell that is going to be one molded piece. When they create an injection mold of a boot, it's going to be a lower piece of the shell, an upper piece of the shell, and then the tongue. Yeah. And those are your three pieces that are then going to be put together with screws, bolts, and such to make sure that it flows well and creates a solid boot.
Right.
Right? So that design with that third piece separate tongue is called Cabrio.
Right.
Right? So Cabrio. And then their next little initial, LV, which Trent pointed out to me right when I said it. Cabrio LV, he goes, so low volume? Yes, yes.
I'm so, like, no.
And why it's funny is the Krypton and the Chakra series is a Cabrio low volume boot.
Yes.
So
yes.
Don't worry if you are a big Krypton fan, right?
They still exist. They're just not called the Krypton anymore.
They are now called the Cabrio LV.
Right. And so another boot that uses a Cabrio design would be like a Full Tilt, which is now K2, right?
Yep.
So Cabrio, it's like making a ski boot called, you know, the Upper Cuff LV.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
No way. Like, it's just the design name and then like the volume, right?
Right.
It's funny. Anyways,
yep.
Tell us what they're replacing the Lupo with.
So the Lupo now, which if you know what the Lupo was in the past, is Dalbello's free touring ski. It had the walk hike mode. So it's not it's not a complete just backcountry ski. It's one that you could take inbounds and out of bounds.
Yeah, it's a hybrid.
Yep, a hybrid boot that's going to have a high stiffness in it for big performance. This is changing to fit in their new line of the Cabrio LV, and this is the free Cabrio LV Free, which is another term that is commonly used in the industry to describe a more freestyle product.
Or like a hybrid product, right? Like,
yes.
Like, perfect example, the Nordica Enforcer Free.
The Free.
The yes. Free. It's not the Enforcer, it's the Free, right?
Yep.
So there you go. You have your Cabrio LV and your Cabrio LV Free.
Yes. No,
welcome.
No, it will be, you know, I think in the long haul, it'll be nice to see. Hopefully that line stays fairly consistent.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
Right? Yeah. And that, like, at least we kind of know, and you know, with the Lupo, you're kind of like, hey, have you heard of the Lupo? You got to know that boot.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't know the name of the Lupo, you have no idea what it does.
Yeah.
So now at least you'll know the Cabrio LV, you see free. You're going to hopefully notice it's got something different about it. Right? Yep. That is more freestyle, if you will. Right? Or more open. Like, we'll use freestyle as a term in the ski industry as like kind of a hybrid, like Trent said. Right? So with this design on the ski boots, they are going slightly wider in their width of the boot for the series. Traditionally, Kryptons and Chakras have always been pretty narrow and stiff. And they, you know, their advertisement is a 98 millimeter. We know, and if you don't know, listen to our Ski Boot podcast from last year.
Yes.
Right? I'm waving my finger at you. just because we know that with different size, each model, every time you go up a size, you're going to go up in width of the boot.
Yeah.
And it's fairly proportional.
It's just a given.
But yeah, it's just a given. Yeah. So these, you know, when they say it's a 98 millimeter width on it.
That just means it's narrow.
Yeah. Basically, right. It's saying this is our performance, narrow performance line.
Yeah.
So, yes. But it'll be exciting. Hopefully, that 1 millimeter makes a little more comfort. I do know the Kryptons, specifically on the men's side, I always had a hard time selling them.
Yeah.
They were a great performing boot. And why I say I had a hard time selling them is because I could put somebody in the Pantera, which is the same boot, but not the low volume, narrow fit.
Yeah, it's not as aggressive in the stance.
Yes.
Like, I felt like the Krypton was very forward.
Yes.
So.
And so just knowing that, you know, I had a lot of people that wanted to just say, oh, I'll just go that route.
Yeah.
Versus feeling like they were getting very defined in their skiing style on the Krypton,
mm-hmm.
Which was an awesome performance boot. So hopefully this will just give it a little more comfort and people can feel like they're still getting the same performance if they love the Krypton, but something that fits a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
So
awesome. All right, let's jump into the next one.
Yes. So a new binding for this year, and I, you know, Trent and I love talking bindings.
I do love talking bindings.
Bindings are very interesting. They're the essence of the mechanical feature of these. It's like, you know, it's like talking engines in a car sometimes.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So new binding put out by Tyrolia, the Protector binding. Okay, the Protector series. We know what we're talking about. When you hear the word Protector, it's going to be safe, right?
Yeah.
Trent, break this down. What are we getting with the Protector binding from Tyrolia?
So I have mixed feelings on this binding. Let me tell you a couple of reasons why. One, I think it's a cool idea, okay? I think it's cool. So basically what it is you have like your standard toe piece, but not the Attack Series toe piece, okay? It's like the T12 toe piece.
Right.
Okay, which I don't know why it doesn't have an Attack toe piece, but I'm not.
Who knows?
It's not for me. Anyways, so next is the heel piece is different, where the heel piece is no longer a three-piece step-in, okay? It's a two-piece, and it will release on the horizontal plane, not just the vertical plane. So that's really cool because before this, there weren't as many bindings on the market. There's like knee bindings and pivot bindings, and that's it, right? And so this is their introduction into it. Where I have my gripe is you can only get this binding on a demo plate, which drives me bonkers. because I'm not a huge fan of demo plates for a couple reasons. It adds extra weight. It really solidifies that area of the ski, right? So if you look
yes.
at a demo plate versus a pivot, the pivot has the smallest footprint, right?
Yeah.
So like you're not going to like stiffen up the low, like right under your foot of that ski.
Yeah.
When you have
the main flex yeah. point of your ski, like a big deal for your stance.
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't going to be just like a brick.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes you get this brick with demo bindings because of the way that it's drilled. It just has a big footprint.
Yep.
So this binding is really cool, but it has a huge footprint. And so it would be really cool for someone who's still growing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you can adjust it. It can be adjusted. Or if you're going to, like, pass the ski on or resell value is going to be really high with this because you can adjust it.
Right.
Right. So there are some things that are positive for demo plates. For me personally, I usually don't love them as much.
Yeah.
I like being as close to the ski as possible. I don't like adding extra weight where my foot is. I think my boots are heavy enough. Like, I don't.
Right.
So that's where my like a little bit of my quandary, a little bit of my disappointment comes from is that plate.
Right. And you know where this may be featured a little more, and it's hard with a lot of these releases, they want to stoke this binding up and they advertise it to a lot of people, and we might be seeing this as more of a safety binding
yeah.
for maybe someone that's had a past injury that they're worried about their knee on taking a really hard turn or not ejecting cleanly, you know, binding ejections can cause, you know, or can be a major cause of injuries for skiers, not having a clean ejection from your binding. There's a lot that goes into it, which is why I always stress the fact of, if you're not comfortable doing it, have a ski tech at least check what you did.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You know, because it really, you know, a lot of people are like, hey man, I'm pre-releasing, I'm going to crank that din down. And they don't check your forward pressure of the binding, right? These are technical terms I won't dive into for this podcast, but we have them on other podcasts and videos, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, that forward pressure on a binding, which is that heel piece pushing forward, is going to, I mean, honestly, to me, that's more important than my din setting.
Yeah.
Right? To absolutely. Make sure that's on.
Well, to speak to that, my brother-in-law's dad, he has a pair of shift bindings, and he was riding them with this boot they were set up to, and then he wore a different boot, and they were a little bit longer in the boot sole length,
yep.
And he's like, oh, it'll be fine. Clicks in, forward pressure's thrown off, he crashes, tears his meniscus.
Oh,
right? Like, geez. Ruins yep. his season. Like,
you're gonna feel that in future seasons. You're gonna exactly. feel it in your knee, like, for your life, man.
Like, and I was like, just have me check it. Just have someone who knows what they're talking about.
Yes.
Check it. And most ski shop guys are pretty chill.
Yeah. They're gonna be stoked to just help you out with that.
Yeah. If it's some easy fix, they might not even charge you for it, especially if you brought them, like, a drink, a beverage of their choice. They yes. would lose their mind to help you with something that small for a can of Sprite or Coke or
beer. Or whatever it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, as long as they're over 21 here in the U.S.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. We dealt with some of that nonsense before. But, yeah. So let's keep rolling.
Awesome. Yep. No, so I think that's a great, you know, great point. It's going to be a cool binding to see, especially for those that are wanting something safer. And by safer, I'm referring to really like it. People that are worried about injuries, extremely worried about re-injuring something like that.
Yeah.
Do I think it's going to replace the Pivot 12 with the safe toe release and heel release? No.
No.
Not by any means. Honestly. Not to be harsh on Tyrolia for this, but Pivot's going to have a lot better turning, a lot better heel stability,
smaller footprint.
Performance, smaller footprint, and still safe release on it. So that's really, you know, to me, a step up, but Tyrolia is trying to get in the game and just show that they can produce something that has safe release for people that are worried about it.
Yeah.
So on that end, that aspect, I think that's cool.
It's cool. Yeah, yes. It's cool.
So
just know that you're putting a plate on your ski.
Yes.
And like,
if you want performance, there's other options.
Yeah. Or, but at that same token, if you're on a race ski or like an experience, like that underfoot's already like super stiff, so it doesn't really matter.
They already use those bindings.
Exactly. So like don't let my saltiness sprinkle in too much into your views. It will be a cool binding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's roll in. We're coming near the end of our podcast here. I really want to touch on one more point, which we are really excited for this year, is these new releases of boots. Okay, K2, Atomic, Salomon. You're going to see a lot of new models coming out with the BOA feature.
Which, blows my mind. And let me tell you why it blows my mind. I have a high arch, and most ski boots hurt my feet. Because, like, they cut off circulation because of my high arch, right?
Yep.
So a BOA, where I could be a little more precise with the way that it locks,
yes.
is really interesting to me.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how it compares because I haven't tried one on, but in my brain, it makes sense that it would be more of a specific adjustment rather than like a lockdown.
Right. No, I think that's a great point. I mean, as skiers or even snowboarders, if you are looking at trying skiing and you hear the word BOA, you're going to be stoked because BOA's been around in helmets and boots for a long time now, right? BOA is a third-party group that designs a retractable system that what you do is it's basically a wire that is then on a little dial that you actually spin to tighten that boot. You know, or tighten whatever it is, and then you can pop it out to release that on a retractable wire.
Yeah.
So really cool. I think something really exciting, like you said, Trent, is going to be the design of how the BOA wire lines through the boot itself.
Mm-hmm.
With traditional ski boots, when you have the two latches over the top of the foot, you tend to get a lot of downward pressure that's unwanted. Unwanted downward pressure, especially if you have a high arch. Now, if you're in a big boot and your foot's a little small for it, you may love that for your boot.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are someone looking at buying a new boot and you see this BOA, it's going to be one that you just want to double check your size on, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, you may be riding a 27 when you should be in a 26 or something, this BOA is going to allow you to have more adjustability and not feel as much pressure. So you may actually like that smaller size now.
Right.
Right. So yeah. Really cool to see that.
Yeah. And for someone like me, like, I'm really interested in trying one on.
Yeah.
So once again, to recap, K2's got them, Atomic's got them, Salomon's got them.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
And keep an eye out for them.
They'll be here to stay.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing a lot in touring boots right now, and mm-hmm. I think very soon you will be seeing these fairly across the board.
Yeah.
So.
It'll be interesting.
Awesome. All right. Well, that was a great, great time being here, talking about all this info. Trent.
Yes. We love doing this podcast, and we're excited for this next season. If you guys want, we have kind of a schedule and a plan for what we're going to be talking about as the season progresses. But if you guys have something you want to hear about, let us know. Reach out, leave us a comment, send us a message. We're on social media. We're on YouTube. Leave us a message at our website. Another thing I wanted to highlight with all this new gear that's coming out, we do have like a ski finder survey on our website where you fill out a questionnaire and we can help send you some cool ski options to do more research into. Just to help you narrow down, right? We want to be here to help you guys navigate all this different equipment so you can have as much fun as possible on the slopes. Austin and I already did all the hard thinking and lifting. Let us do that for you so you don't have to think about it and you can enjoy your days that much more.
Yes. Visit us. Really, Instagram's my favorite spot.
Yes.
Constantly monitoring. We're going to be having more posts talking about new gear coming out, trying to get the stoke factor up for this season. We don't want to lose that stoke coming off of an amazing winter last year.
Mm-hmm.
And excited to go into this year. So send us a message. Reach out. And if you're really curious and you're looking at new skis, ask for a personal ski review.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We will actually cater our review to you. And send you, you know, some options on skis that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Something I'm happy to do.
So. Yeah. So let us know. And thank you for being with us. And journey with us further into the pine.